And so therefore I can just holler up as loud as I want to. But anyway, it's been good to be here this morning already. Good spirit here this morning. And very thankful for that, and appreciate it, and hope the Lord's blessed you already today. I know I've been blessed. And looking forward to what we've got the rest of the day. Amen. Me and Heather prayed this morning, and I said, Lord, I'm just excited that we just get to spend all day in church. Just get to be in church this morning, and get to be in church again this evening, and I'm excited about that, and it's a blessing. But all right, if you got your Bibles this morning, let's go to Exodus chapter 8. Now, we've had this series, we've kind of been going on. Now, last few weeks I ain't preached on it, but we've been preaching on the series called Pride, a Detriment to All People. Doesn't matter where you are, who you are, where you come from, what walk of life you're from, or what part of the world you live in, pride is a detriment. And it always will be. And given the things that we've experienced this morning, this message, the message the Lord laid on my heart, kind of seems fitting. So this morning, by the help of the Lord, I'm going to preach on the pride of a bad spirit. And it's bad enough when you got a bad spirit, but it's worse when you got one that's prideful. Amen. All right, Exodus chapter 8, starting in verse 1, and I can't even see it, like I couldn't see the words in the songbook. All right, and the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people and into thine ovens and into thy kneading troughs. So you're going to have some frog legs with your biscuits. Amen. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon thy servants. The Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me, and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. Y'all heard that one before. I've heard the old ladies say that one. They hear something good to happen. Glory over me, they'll say. Alright. Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants, for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and from thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, Tomorrow. Seems like an obscure thing to say. And he said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy houses. Can I back up for just a second and say at the end of verse 10 what he says? He said, The Lord our God. You notice he don't say the Lord thy God. He ain't claiming affiliation with the world. Amen? It ain't one God and everybody's their child. Everybody's his child. That's what they're trying to get you to believe now. Oh, we're all children of God. You know, we may not be of the same cut from the same cloth, and we may not believe the same things, but we're all trying to get to the same place. No, I ain't trying to get nowhere. According to that book, I'm done there. Amen. Amen. He said, I'm seated together with him in heavenly places in Christ. So I'm already there. I ain't trying to get nowhere. But I'll tell you this too, the God I serve is not the God that the rest of these people in this world are serving either. Amen. Amen. He's separated, he's different. He ain't the same God Muhammad that he's talking about. And Confucius and Buddha and all them, ain't none of them the same God as the one I serve. Amen. Amen. You want me to tell you what sets them apart? The fact that you can go to any one of their cemeteries and they're still laying there, and you go to Jerusalem and he ain't. Amen. Amen. Yeah. All right. Just get that out of the way. All right, verse 12. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, kind of talking about that there was relief. He felt that there was relief from what was going on. He hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you again this morning. Thank you for giving us a chance to be in church. Thank you again for this wonderful spirit that we're experiencing this morning. I pray that you'd bless your word. Bless your preacher, Lord. We thank you for the chance to be able to preach and the freedom we still enjoy. And I ask Heavenly Father that you just take that you'd take Josh Holden and you'd move him out of the way and set him to the side. Lord, use, Lord, this word and your spirit that you may minister to your people. And Father, we love you and thank you again for being so good to us. And pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're talking about the pride of a bad spirit. Now, I'm going to have you turn to a couple of places, but we're going to come back to Exodus. So don't lose your place there in Exodus. But go ahead and grab Revelation chapter 16, because we've got to get our basis here. We've got to get our basis for these frogs. The pride of a bad spirit, when it talks about a bad spirit, you find that there in Exodus, talking about them frogs that they brought up. And oftentimes, and I want you to notice this too while you're turning there. Do you remember where it was that he brought the frogs out of? That's right. The rivers and the streams is what brought forth the frogs, right? Now, if you get a nice pretty day and you go out to the river or the stream and the sun's shining and you stand there at the brink of the water and you look over into the stream, what are you doing? What are you going to see? There you go. So that unclean spirit came out of something that's going to be a reflection of what you are. Right? Uh-huh. It don't matter if you're saved, don't matter if you're lost. You can have a bad spirit. Amen. You've got the Holy Spirit that indwells you, He seals you, and He takes care of you and guides you. But that don't mean you still can't have a bad spirit about you. Amen. And it says that them frogs came out of a river, which if you walk up to a river and you look down in there, you're going to see yourself. So oftentimes the bad spirit that we have is not a reflection on God, but it's a reflection on us. Right? All right. Now, over in Revelation chapter 16, come down to verse 12. 16:12, it says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw," now watch him, "three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." So these frogs are unclean spirits that are there for one purpose. In verse 14, he says they're spirits of devils working miracles. To do what? "It goes forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them." So what it is it's a spirit of deception. It's to gather all of them together. It's an unclean spirit that causes deception, and they come, and look at where they come from. It says it comes out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. That's the satanic trinity right there. The dragon is the devil, right? Old Satan, that red dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, that's the devil. And then the beast, well, that's the man of sin that's going to be here on the earth during the time of the tribulation period. All right, so he's going to be here and he's called the beast. And then there's going to be another man on this earth who's going to be the false prophet, and he's going to be like John the Baptist was to Jesus Christ. He's going to be the herald. He's going to be calling everybody's attention to the greatness of this man, the beast. And so it's the satanic trinity. Just like God has a trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, so the devil has a trinity in the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. But the Lord's showing you something here because He shows you that out of the mouth of these three people comes an evil spirit that's likened unto one creature, and why it had to be that one creature out of everything God created, it was a frog. Now listen, this, and I think it's because this book is so perfect and this book is so pure and no human hand could ever cause an error to be in this precious book of ours, though it were penned by men's hand. I believe that those men were fully and completely inspired by God to write down everything that you have in your lap right now. And if there was anything wrong with that Bible, I believe with all my heart that this entire universe would explode in on itself if there was anything wrong with that book. Amen. Denise back there teaching the kids back there about creation. I was blessed when I walked back there this morning because here I walked back there and Katie come running out to me and she said, "Daddy," she said, "look," she said, "the Lord made the sun and the moon and the stars." But then Denise went back and she said, "but what did He do on day one? What did He do on day two? What did He do on day three?" And she went to just spouting that stuff off. And you know what? That blessed me. Thank God that a Sunday school teacher take time to pray over the Sunday school class and not get discouraged by the fact that there ain't but one kid in it. Amen. Because the soul of that one kid matters to me. Because that one soul is my child, and I thank God for a Sunday school teacher like her. Thank you. Appreciate you. But I'm going to tell you something. If we ain't careful, that spirit, that unclean spirit, that devilish spirit, that comes out of the mouth of those three satanic beings could very easily find its way into the heart and the mind and the mouth of a child of God.
Amen.
All right. Come ahead to Job. Get Job chapter 26. Now we're going to be doing, I'm turning you to three references, okay? We just did Revelation. Now I got one we're going to go to in Job, and then we're going to get one in James. And then we're going to go back to our text and we're going to wrap it up. Put a bow on it. All right, Job 26. Now, I want you to keep in mind that we're talking about the pride of a bad spirit. It's not just a bad spirit. I mean, a bad spirit can come and listen, everybody in here could wake up tomorrow morning and the fact that it's Monday and you got to go to work could render you with a bad spirit. But it's what you do that makes that under control or not. All right, let me show you what I'm talking about. Job chapter 26, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "But Job answered and said, how hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is?" Now watch what he says here in verse 4. "To whom hast thou uttered words? To whom hast thou uttered words? And whose spirit came from thee?" There's a spirit that comes out of the things that you say. And it can only be a spirit that comes from one of three places. It's either the spirit of God, the spirit of the devil, or the spirit of man. Amen. See, that's the three places that it comes from. Just like in Revelation showed the unclean spirits like frogs came out of the mouth of the satanic trinity, Job here in verse 4, he asks about these words and the spirit behind the words. Now, supposedly, these questions here in these first four verses are going to be what you're asked at the judgment seat of Christ. Supposedly. And you'll notice that I think there's six questions there, and I think four out of the six have to do with words that you say. Because if you recall over there, and I can't remember exactly where it was off the top of my head, but he said, "By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Right? And you're going to do what? The Bible says every man must come before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of himself. He's going to answer. That has to do with words. So when we open our mouth out of those lips and through that tongue, the Bible says, comes forth a spirit that's of one of three sources. Either a man's, God's, or the devil's. And I'll give you two out of three that are really, really close and similar to each other. And it ain't God and yours. Most of the time it's God's and it's the devil's and yours. Are generally the ones that are the closest together. Alright? Now I'm showing you this because we're going now come to James chapter 3. And this will be the last place we go to before we come back and hit our text. James chapter 3. And we're going to come down to verse 13. James chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 13. Understand this morning, this is not an accusing message. It's a message of warning. Because in situations like the one that we had happen here this morning, it's easy to get into a bad spirit. Very easily could we have gotten in that prayer room and gotten in the wrong spirit and then carried that spirit in here, and then what was waiting on us in here could have very easily swayed what the Lord might have wanted to do in this service by blessing some people's hearts. And like I said, I don't know about you, but I've been blessed already just being here. The songs were spot on. They were wonderfully picked and beautifully played and sung. And I can't thank God enough for giving us such a spirit of worship of what we've experienced here this morning. But listen, if we come in here and the Spirit of God rejoice our hearts because of the songs, rejoice our hearts because of His goodness, and we leave here and miss the point of the message, well, then we've missed the point of the service itself. Alright, so look in James chapter 3 and let me show you what I'm talking about. Verse 13, who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. See that? For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And I know who the author of confusion is not. Amen. And God is not the author of confusion. Amen. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. All right, now let me show you a few things here. He's talking about conversation. He says it in verse 13. He says to show out of a good conversation. Alright, and then he turns around and lying against the truth, what does he associate that with? Look in verse 14. He says, the end of verse 14, glory not and lie not against the truth. But what's the qualifier for that? It's the beginning of verse 14. If you have bitter envying and strife. So, a bitter heart and a bitterness and strife in your heart is what can cause you to do what? To lie against the truth. Oh no, I'm fine. I ain't got a problem at all. Ain't nothing wrong with me. What's wrong with you? You see that? Say, lie not against the truth. The truth of the matter is that if you've got a bitter heart, then you have got a problem because anything you're doing or saying, there's a spirit coming from you that is not of God. Amen. Amen. Alright, now, he says this. He says, this wisdom, well, let me just say this. I'll put it in here before I move on. Proverbs 4:23. Y'all remember that verse over there? He says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it come the issues of life. That's what it says. All right, then in verse 24, the very next verse in Proverbs, he says, Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. So the Lord's putting some emphasis on what comes out right here. And that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So there's a connection between here, here, and there. Amen? Between here, here, and there, there's a connection. You know how you control here, here, and there? You find that nerve that's connected right there. When you got a smart mouth kid, isn't that how you take care of it? You got a kid that disrespects or misbehaves. That's something we've been working on with a certain somebody, is being respectful and polite and nice and not yelling at people and screaming when you don't get your way. That's something we've been working on. And it's, why is that? Because naturally she's got a problem with this, that, and this. So how do we teach her to control it? By connecting the nerve in the back.
Right. Amen.
And we connect the nerve in the back, and it teaches this and this to not be controlled by that.
Amen.
And you know what we find now that we're beginning to really press that issue? You know what we're finding? We're finding that when we walk through town and we pass by people and they speak and say, "Oh, you're so pretty." You know what we find her saying? "Thank you very much. What is your name?" And there's, "Oh, how so polite. She's so polite." They say, what a polite little girl. And then when we walk away, you know what she's then saying? She's looking up at me and going, "Daddy, did I do good? Did I do good?" You know why she's wondering that? Because she don't want that nerve to get connected again. Because she knows that if she's rude to somebody, that Daddy's going to connect the nerve. And it's going to register between here and here and there. Amen. Sometimes that's what God needs to do with His children. When they ain't got enough respect or wisdom or fear. Listen, He's talking about wisdom there, right? Isn't that what He's talking about right there? Having wisdom? Look in chapter 1. You in James still? Look in chapter 1. Now look in verse 5. What does He say? If any man lack wisdom, what does he do? Ask of God. What does he do? Which giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Right? Isn't that what it says? You know what that word means? That word upbraideth? I got it in my margin. I wrote it. It means to change something or to charge with something. To charge with something wrong or disgraceful. Upbraideth not. You know what he doesn't do? He doesn't humiliate you. That's something that God, I don't think, I mean, I'm not going to speak for him, but you know what I've always known about him? He never disciplines me in front of people. He's never disciplined me or chastised me in front of other people. Now, there's been things that's happened in my life that other people might have looked at and said, "Oh, God's getting him. Lord's getting him for that." And there might have been, and you know what? They might have been right. But the Lord, not only does He care about mine and His relationship, but He also cares about His testimony, and His testimony's tied up in what I look like in front of lost people. So He's not going to take you and whoop you out in front of everybody. Now He might, some people, He did Job. Well, I ain't going to say He did Job. He turned the devil loose on Job. That He said, "You moved me against him without a cause." Job didn't get what he got because he'd done something wrong. He was the example that was being made of what somebody that trusted God with everything was going to accomplish and not turn his back on him. All right? I want to get off on all that, but I ended up getting off on it some. All right, come over, back over here to James 3. And he says in verse 15 and 16, "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work." We've already said He gives the source and the direction that that spirit comes from. He said it doesn't come from above. And He said where it comes from is it comes from confusion. And you know who the author of that is. All right, but then look at 17 and 18. "But the wisdom Which wisdom? The one you read about in chapter 1, verse 5. The wisdom that is from above. Now look at its attributes. Pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. That's a blessing. And where does wisdom come from? He said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if a man doesn't have a fear of God, you know what he is? He's a fool. He's a fool. And I'm saying, now he said, I reverence the Lord like I reverenced my earthly father. That's a wrong reverence. Bible says, don't fear he who can harm the body, but fear he who can take both body and soul and put them in hell.
Amen.
You ought to fear him, because at the very thought he had, he could put you in hell right now if he wanted to. Say, but that'd be against what he said in his word. Yes, that's right. And he will honor his word, but you still ought to fear him like he could do it.
Amen.
Amen. That's the way you ought to fear him. The fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That's somebody who knows that from the answer of a mouth comes a spirit behind it. All right? Now, I got to hurry up here. Come back over to Exodus. We'll finish this thing up. I'll finish it up real quick like here. What's this bad spirit? This bad spirit here. These frogs represent a bad spirit coming up out of these rivers and out of these streams. What do they represent? Well, it's what they affect. They represent a bad spirit, but what does a bad spirit affect? Well, I mean, it says in verse 3, the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, and it'll go up into thine house. Now look at where it all, he says they'll go. Your bedchamber. Take your sleep from you. A bad spirit will rob you of your sleep. Amen? Alright, and then it says, into thy bedchamber, upon thy bed. What is that? Well, I think that might be something to do with your prayer life. Don't you pray of a night before you go to bed?
Amen.
I think it might have something to do with your prayer life. It affects your prayer life. Alright, but then it says, and into the house, or he said, upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thine eating troughs. It's going to affect how you minister to the people that are around you. If you've got people in your home that you minister to, it'll affect how you minister to them. How is that? Well, if you're the one that generally does the cooking in the house, it'll affect how you cook and how you prepare meals. And I don't know about anybody else, but somebody can tell me they prepared something with love, and for some reason it just tastes better. Now that may be ridiculous, but you may think that. Say, how was that made? With love. It may look like something the dog might turn his nose up at. But for some reason, somebody made it because they love you. It's just like these young'uns will come and breakfast in bed for mom on Mother's Day, and it comes out and it looks God awful. You don't even know what it is, but out of the love that you have for that child and the love that child has for you, you'll endure whatever bad taste that thing might have. Why? Because they made it out of the love of their hearts.
Amen.
And when you got a bad spirit, you'll sit there and turn your nose up at that and say, oh, thank you, honey, and act like you're doing something. It'll break that little one's heart. Break their heart. Say, but you're supposed to do it for real. You see? And we're like, oh. See, if you got a bad spirit, you'll make up some excuse. You won't put that spoon in your mouth.
Amen.
Amen. I know nobody like hearing that, but that's get you a good spirit about you. Put that spoon in your mouth. Let that baby know you thank God for them and the fact that God gave them to you, and you got a blessing of having them in the home, and that they love you enough that they go through the trouble of making something like that for you. Thank God for that.
Amen.
I got a plate on my counter at the house right now with about 6 cupcakes on it that look like a unicorn puked on that plate. I passed by this morning and I thought, I'll slip them in the garbage. And I thought, the minute I do, somebody will notice they're gone. So I haven't. You know where they are? They're still on the counter. Unicorn vomit. About 6 of them with about 50 different colors of sprinkles. Just all over that thing, icing everywhere. And it, honest to God, just looks like some fairy creature walked up and just went bleh right on that plate. And all she talked about while she was up with my nanny, all she talked about, "Daddy, I made these for you." I said, "Oh, thank you. Oh, yes. And we're going to eat some of them today after church. Glory. If I come in here this evening with palsy, you'll know it was the unicorn vomit." Amen. "The frogs shall come up," verse 4, "both on thee and upon thy people and on all thy servants," contagious. But not only that, I want you to notice this. Look in verse 7. "And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs also upon the land of Egypt." And the magicians, you know, I used to read this passage, and every time I would see it say, "And the magicians did so with their enchantments," I'm sitting here going, you know, come on, man. And then when I got to studying on this right here, you know what the magicians doing this with their enchantments proved? Nothing. It didn't prove anything. You know why it didn't prove anything? It proved nothing in this application because the unclean spirit comes from two of three places. Remember? There's three places it could come from. The spirit of God, spirit of man, spirit of the devil. But there's two out of three places it could have come from. And I promise you, it didn't come from the Spirit of God. A bad spirit don't come from the Spirit of God. It either comes from the spirit of man, spirit of the devil. And in these boys' case, that's the spirit of man right there. And the spirit of man has the same ability to have a bad spirit as the spirit of the devil does. So the fact that these boys brought frogs up themselves proves nothing except that they had bad spirit in them too. That's all it proves. It's all it proves. All right, and then look in verse 8. "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and from thy houses that they may remain in the river only?" The best place for some unclean spirit is to get washed.
Amen.
You remember in the previous chapter what that river was flowing with? There you go. "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." I reckon that same river that flowed with blood in the previous chapter, it might be the same river these things crawled out of. What's the best thing to do with that bad spirit? Go stick it back in that river.
Amen.
Best place for it. Get that thing washed. Verse 10, "And he said, tomorrow." Why would he say that? I'll tell you why. Because everybody's ready to get rid of the result, but they don't want to get rid of the cause. Yeah, get rid of the result of my bad spirit, but I'm not willing to give up my cause. I'll keep the cause of my bad spirit, but you get rid of the result. When am I supposed to get rid of these things? Do it tomorrow. Tomorrow, look in verse 13. "And Pharaoh did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields." Notice they died out. Because the Bible says, "Reckon yourselves indeed dead unto sin." It's a dead work. All right, but watch it. Verse 14. "And they gathered them together." Who? You got to read that real close right there. It says that the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. Who gathered them? The Egyptians did. The Lord took care of the cause, but they got to deal with the result. And what did the result? What was the result? The land stank. They didn't put them in the river. They piled them up on heaps, and they stank. The Lord caused the bad spirit to die out, but they had to deal with the cleanup. Now look here, verse 15, and I'm done. "When Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said." In verse 15, he saw relief come and he hardened his heart because he was the king. After all, as long as they were out of my bed and out of my kitchen and out of my house, I'm not worried about who's cleaning them up because I'm not going to have to. I'll just call somebody else and they can come clean them up. All I did was what I had to get them out of the house. But the thing is Pharaoh thought his problem was with the frogs. No, Pharaoh's problem was right here. His problem was his heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The bad spirit was just a result that he saw hopping around on the floor. But when that was gone, the only thing that changed was that his heart got harder. The bad spirit remained, though the result of it might have been taken away from him by the hand of someone else. You know, a bad spirit will gladly make a mess and leave it for others to clean up.
Amen.
A bad spirit will gladly make a mess and then leave it for others to clean up. Now, I'll tell you this quick story. Now, I know I've kept you for a few minutes, but I'm going to tell you this quick story, and we'll be done. How many of y'all are familiar with the story of the frog prince? I'm not talking about the one that Disney made the movie about and they're jazzing around in Louisiana and, you know, all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that, the old story of the frog prince. The old frog off in the swamps hopping around from lily pad to lily pad, ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms, so on and so forth. And then one day, the princess, the king's daughter, comes out of the palace, out of her royal diadem and dwelling, and comes down into the swamps and finds this poor little old frog and picks him up and puckers up and gives him a big old wet one, and he turns into this amazing, handsome prince. Now, if somebody thinks that people aren't dumb enough to fall for that, ask my wife. She's got a picture of her kissing a frog. Bam! Here I am. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. All right. Here's the thing about it. That princess had to come out of that castle and come down into them swamps. Well, how many people you reckon walked by that highway how many times and heard that frog down there? Heard that frog down there crying out because he didn't like the inhabitant. He didn't like where he was at. Would somebody down there, he's down there croaking and ribbit, 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 and he's, oh, so, would somebody love me? Would somebody care enough about me? I've made a mess of my life. I don't like where I am. Would somebody help me get out of this place that I'm at? And as the king's people with their King James Bible kept walking by and walking by. Why? Because we're going to the palace. We're going to the king's house. We're going to the palace. Ain't got time to mess with no frog. But the king's daughter thought enough about the frog that she did. And she came out and found him and turned him into the handsome prince. You know the story. And I got to thinking about that story a little bit. And you know, those children of the king that were on their way to the king's house, they probably, you know what they did? What do they say about somebody if they get a sore throat and they can't talk real well? Got a frog in their throat. Like what? Like a bad spirit that's caught in their throat? That they won't speak to somebody about how much a king loves them and willing to come down in the swamp to get one that's calling out saying, would somebody just love me? Would somebody just care enough about me to take time out of their royal business and come down here and just get me out of this mess? Uh-huh. Ain't that something? Got a frog in her throat. The difference, you know what the difference between, and I got this and I had to write it down. The Lord put this on my mind. I had to write it down. You know what the difference is between a saved person who has a bad spirit and a lost person who has a bad spirit? You know what the difference is between them? You ain't got to convince a lost person that they've got a bad spirit. They know. But you got to convince saved people. You got to try to convince saved people that they got a bad spirit. Sometimes they think just because they're coming to church, they think good. They'll throw a dollar in the plate and come to church and they'll think everything's fine. And what they don't realize, they got a frog in their throat and they've had one there for who knows how long, and it's got a bad spirit in their heart and in their mind, and it's coming out of their mouth and they don't even realize it. And it all comes from one thing. And you know what they do? They hear a message like this and preaching like this, and instead of getting right, they get mad. And what is that? Pride. That's the pride of a bad spirit. Because a bad spirit would rather sit there and keep you from repenting and getting right as it would it would rather keep you from that as it would to see you to get up and walk down an aisle and sit down here at an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I've had a bad spirit about me. And Lord, I ain't done it on purpose and I ain't done it intentional. But Lord, bitterness and things like that have made me lie about the truth. And Lord, that's not what I'm supposed to do. And Lord, I'm sorry. And God, I want that bad spirit out of me and I want a good spirit in me so that you can do something with me. How are you going to meet a situation like what we've got ahead of us, possibly? How are you going to meet that with the right heart? If you don't have, if you ain't willing to repent of that thing, if pride is the pride of a bad spirit would say, I'd rather keep my bad spirit. At least it makes me feel like I got a justifiable reason to be